We're live. Welcome back to Funtown, everybody. Hello. Things have changed a little bit. We're on hiatus from Dockheads. So now I am not only joined by comedians Jeff Oskey and Austin Real, but also Lady of Radio, Jess Alsman.
Hey. Hello. It's great to be here and finally meet Austin.
Realized right before go time, you guys have never met.
Yeah. It's like the Brady Bunch right now. Hey, buddy.
Hi.
Does that work?
In our we're finally full multiplex. We have four corners of a screen now, which is kind of cool. Yeah. For the video people on Patreon, that'll see this.
Oh, wait, I'm still going the wrong way.
Yeah, no, there's a learning curve to it, Jeff.
It's backward.
I think you'll get it, though, by the end of the podcast.
Dude, I haven't gotten it in 4 weeks. I don't know why it's going to start tonight.
Sorry.
We all decided because Austin, well, Jess and I decided because Austin and Jeff had mixed drinks ready that we needed to go get one.
Yeah.
I don't know how your experience went, Jess, but I ran in there to hurriedly get this drink together. The ice maker push button thing on my fridge all of a sudden stops working for the very first time, just goes out. And then I have to try to get ice manually out of the fridge, which I haven't done in a very long time. I've been living on automated dump ice things for I don't know how long. So it's stuck.
You and poor thing.
I'm like tapping it, trying to get it to come loose, the drawer thing.
Oh,
and
man.
Finally, when it goes, the whole thing goes. So all my ice just litters the floor in the kitchen. So I'm scooping it all up real quick to put it, throw it in the sink.
Are your dogs out though? Like when the dogs hear ice, are they like, oh.
My, get all of that. My dogs do not like ice.
What?
They won't touch it.
Every dog I've ever had loves ice.
Yeah.
Mine too. These
my
three?
Dog loves ice. The second I go to the freezer and she hears it, she's next to me because she knows my drunk ass is going to drop a dog or two.
That's how my mom and dad's dog is. Like, she'll just sit and wait on point as you pull the drawer out, you know? These dogs, I guess because maybe they're so old. I'm gonna break a canine on that one. Yeah, they're rescues for sure. Yeah. So,
every dog is a fucking rescue.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, every dog needs rescued.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah. Whether
it's
from
the puppy mill.
But it needs rescued.
Technically, though, I think like if you're a movie or TV dog, really you rescued your owner. I mean, they facilitate stuff for you, but you're the bread maker.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? That's a good point. I
you gotta consider show dogs more, Jeff. You really do.
What are there? Seven? What? Maybe seven show dogs currently in business?
Yeah, we're talking 0.01% of the canine population for sure, but they're the elite. Yeah.
Although, roles are kind of reversed. There's probably 200 dogs on Instagram that have more followers than me. if not more than 2,000.
They're everywhere. Yeah, I don't know why my dogs, they're not into it. And they're like, one of them, Carter's just super particular about shit. He'll smell something like 5 minutes before he decides to put it in his mouth. If you're holding it. And sometimes he'll just stand there till you drop it on the floor. And then he'll eat it.
What about if they see squirrels? Or like, oh, you know, that's a toy or is that food?
That's hilarious because they used to chase squirrels like a motherfucker in the backyard. I mean, they would dart like out of the door as fast as they could, squirrel, and they would chase it right up the tree or up the fence. And now I noticed today there was a squirrel just kind of lollygagging in the backyard. And these old fuckers looked at it and looked at each other and they're like, all right, let's go. And they just kind of half-assed tried, like, all right, we've caught on, but we're still going to act like dogs. We're never catching the squirrel, so we're not expending the energy. Like, it was such a show put on by all three of them.
Go through the motions.
Let's go.
All
come
right,
on.
Come on.
Bark, bark, bark. Run, run, run. My cat loves squirrels. Like,
yeah, I get
that's
you.
All I've
tell
been
me.
Doing lately is Riri. Her name's Renesmee, but she goes by Riri.
Nice.
Because Renesmee, well, she's Team Jacob. It's a whole Twilight thing. I digress. Donnie,
how long have you had this cat since you were nine?
She like just turned 7 years old this month. Her birthday, we decided, was 420. And so she's seven now. It's crazy. But it was Donnie's cat, technically.
So,
but
wait, hang on. Okay, Jessica. So you're a Twilight fan.
No. Well, Donnie named it.
Donnie
so
named
Donnie's,
her.
Donnie is the Twilight fan.
Donnie was like, oh no, she's Team Jacob. But okay, it kind of worked out because she was the runt of the litter. Like, she was really tiny and all these kittens were coming out like, pick me, pick me.
Sparkle.
She wouldn't. Yeah, basically. Well, no, she was warm, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway. It's just weird that Donnie is like, that Donnie's a Twilight head. I mean, he's like a 2013 Twilight head. That's late in the Twilight game.
It was more of a, it became a joke because, I don't know. She was really, she was special in our hearts, I guess. And he named her Renesmee.
Well, but that's we never actually adorable.
Called her that, I guess. Whatever. So Riri. We call her Riri. Riri.
Now, what, do we refresh my memory? What character was Renesmee?
That was Bella and Edward's daughter. And
oh,
Jacob.
Oh, okay.
Imprinted on her.
Yes. Oh, you know your Twilight down
I
there.
I know a little bit about
down
you.
There. Look you at Donnie, you're in the club. I got one of those stupid
brains that can't remember like how to do math, but I can remember everything I saw one time in Twilight.
I always forget Anna Kendrick was in it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's yeah. right.
One of the friends.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you mentioned grilling earlier. Did you, oh, wait a minute, this meal you made, first of all, was did you grill this? And I want to hear more about
it. I grilled the entire thing.
It's grill season all, again.
Wait, real quick, for those of you, just like, what's do you give out like your Twitter, your Instagram,
oh, yeah.
and stuff?
Oh yeah. Instagram is at Jessica Alsman, which it's Jessica and then Alsman. On Twitter it's at JN Alsman. I need to change my Twitter handle so it's the same, but there's anyway.
Because she has been posting pictures of the squirrel that
yes.
her cat They're has besties. Been befriended. Have you named the squirrel? Does Trolley. It have a Twilight?
I named her Trolley because she trolls the deck every day. Because I usually put out birdseed because I have this Mr. and Mrs. Cardinal. And because, you know, a guy and a girl cardinal, they always go together. They hang out as pairs. It's love.
I didn't know that. Now, like do ducks.
You, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that this is a female squirrel? Because yes. I can't tell the difference. How
the
do you?
The picture, if you look, because I have pictures on my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
She's got
you
the
can
nipples.
See the vagina. If you look really close,
if you really spread your fingers, yeah.
She's got the nips. She's been feeding her baby squirrels, which are named kits, the proper term for baby squirrels. And I've seen, and it's not a baby, but I'd call it a teenage squirrel running around. If you've seen a little tiny squirrel, they run so fast.
Yeah,
which is
they're
amazing.
Fast.
And so.
So you got this big old mama squirrel that has like this close friendship with Riri.
Yeah, she always comes up to the door looking in and Ree's like, usually meows when she sees a critter or an animal. But when that one just came to the door, like, Ree's like,
dude, that thing was like stretched out. Like, it was like showing off its tits up against the window.
She started to get a little crazy, started to try to, because it's a glass door with like the squares.
That's, so they're separated.
And she kept trying to jump. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She kept trying to jump into the house.
It's like prison. It's like a prison visit. There's glass between them. Yes. They're like,
So
this is
distancing.
On you when you get out.
Oh no! Which I support that. That's fine. That they're both females, but I don't know if the inner critter thing will work. But
it's 2020.
I don't think you even have to worry about it working if they're both females.
That's true. They just roll around on each other and keep each other warm.
It's just a lot of heavy petting. That's all it is, I guess.
Yeah. I guess that's how you define working. I mean, they're not going to produce anything from it other than, I don't know, a good time.
Making biscuits. That's it. So silly. And there's a fox that's been roaming the neighborhood. So that's exciting.
That's cool. I love having wildlife around. In our neighborhood.
Yeah.
Jeff, you have plenty.
Yeah, are you still feeding the squirrels at your house, Todd?
Yeah, I still throw the nuts out every day.
Squirrel charcuterie. Todd, Jessica, if you're unaware of this, Todd makes a squirrel charcuterie board for his squirrels. He puts some grains, some nuts, some 12-year-old salami that has been hand-dried in Italy.
He does a mustard sort of bar.
Yeah, a smear. Yeah, it's just a smear for color mostly, but you can rub your... Yeah. Salami
he
in
makes
them.
His own mustard for the squirrels.
He was afraid that they weren't doing well during quarantine, so he wanted to put some extra food out for them.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on in the squirrel world, so just in case. And I always put out the corn feed every day for the ducks. We have these two, sometimes three ducks that come and visit. We had a naming process, Marnie and I did, for the ducks, and people submitted names, and the winners were Tony and Carmella from The Sopranos.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because the ducks that he had in his pool. So a lot of other good names. That's a good idea. Yeah.
And we named ours Quackers. We went back when we had chickens, we got a duck. Somebody's like, hey, you want a duck? And we're like, yeah, we'll take a duck. That thing lasted like 3 days before it got eaten alive. Because ducks don't go into a coop. They just kind of like nest in the corner. And this raccoon's like, oh, hi, duck. Oh, here's what's on the buffet today. Duck. Sweet.
Look what the Huskies left out for me.
Yeah, so Quackers was, he got quacked.
Dang.
I know, man. The kids were not happy.
Hey, it's part of the life cycle. What are you going to do? We have, so the three ducks that come from, and it's weird when there's the third duck comes and he's not very welcomed. Like I can tell it's another male duck. Mm-hmm. And the bigger male duck is very bothered by this smaller male duck, who I assume is younger and has, you know, more of a shot.
No, he's my gay friend. He's not gay. He should play a gay until fuck up and then he's going to try to bang you.
He's got a flat-billed hat and a monster. He's not gay. Big UFC shirt on or something.
Oh my God, that's funny.
So it's pretty cool. So I've been excited about grill season. When you were talking pre-show about this meal, I want to hear more about it. So I have some grill questions for you guys.
Just my basic, I just have a gas grill. So I can only do some basic ass grilling.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight I did some sirloins. I did some baked potatoes, which have basic ass. But then I did Brussels sprouts with roasted walnuts and blue cheese. And I did that in like a pan over the fire. And they turned out the bomb. Tonight was the best they've ever been. So I was super happy with that. I had two servings of everything. My gas is going to be atrocious tonight.
That sounds delicious. It does. I mean, I'm going to try that.
I melted a little blue cheese on the steaks as well.
That's a good move.
I had a little left in the container from the Brussels sprouts, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to blue cheese the fuck out of this whole meal.
You know, I found at Kroger on my last trip was like a blue cheese garlic spread. So it's for dipping or spreading on crackers and stuff or a charcuterie tray. But I bought the container because I'm like, look how spreadable it is. And I grilled two steaks on the grill and rubbed that on them at the end and just kind of let it melt down into it halfway and then took them off. And it was the bomb.
Now, how do you grill like your steaks? Are you like a... Are you a reverse sear? Are you a straight sear? And then low? How do you do yours?
Yeah, I sear each side on a high heat. I'll get it up to almost 500. Throw it on, shut the door for a second, take it off, flip it, do the same thing the other side. And then I take them off for a second, lower the temp because I like to slow cook my steaks. And then I'll put them back on.
Huh.
Yeah, that's how I do it. I don't even know if that's right, but it seems to keep them fairly moist. I don't know.
Jeff, what about you?
Usually lately I've been turning all five burners on as high as they can get. It gets like 700 degrees. I throw it on 3 minutes on one side, three and a half, and then flip it three and a half on the other side. That's what I did tonight.
That sounds good to me because I am assuming those get kind of a char on the outside. I mean, they're redder toward the middle.
Yes. Super red.
I can't get my lady to eat that.
Medium, like me and my lady, like blood on the plate.
Yeah.
Like we want.
Well, that's what it tastes
like.
Best.
A couple of werewolves over there.
But for the kids, usually we do. I cook it longer for them because they don't want to.
They want it more evenly.
Yeah. They're like, is this. The kids. Yeah.
Why is this not gray?
Now, growing up, my father cooks a steak to the point where you have to put a droplet of water on it afterwards to rehydrate it like it's astronaut food. And that's how I was raised.
So. Me too. My dad would cook them shits till they were about, I don't know, a quarter inch thick. They just cooked down to nothing. They were like inverted in a U. They were so dry. You're like, clunk when it hit the plate. Like, oh. He's like, oh, these are delicious. Yeah.
Oh, man.
What about you, Jessica? Do you have steak money?
I don't know how to cook the steak. But the Don will cook.
Is he a good griller?
Well or medium. He is a good griller.
Did you call him the Don?
The Don.
That's what she calls him.
The Don.
I gotta meet this guy. I think he's
the Don. You know, and when you meet him, you're like, yeah, he is the Don. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Very professional, but then he's silly.
He's got kind of a cool, artsy looking beard, you know, but yet.
Twilight guy?
But he's a professional, so when you see him at work, he looks professional. Yeah, yeah.
Jessica, I'm a huge nerd, so really anyone who like unabashedly embraces some fandom that they shouldn't be allowed to, I love.
Well, you two will get along just great. Oh, wait. Shit. That, yeah. These guys will get along just
great. These video windows are hard to figure out. I screw it up every time.
So
stupid.
But yeah, you guys are two peas from a pod, however you say it. But yeah.
So what do you nerd? Explain to Austin, Jess, what you nerd out on.
Yeah, what's your nerd
like? Shit. What's your top two nerd out things?
I think Johnny and I both are really big. We're into The Walking Dead, the Walking Dead family, if you will.
Mm-hmm. I love
and
Walking
then,
Dead.
Gosh, it's hard to nail. We were into Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Rick and Morty. I love Rick and Morty. I'm trying to think what he's into right now.
Westworld isn't one of both World. Of you in the Westworld a lot.
Now, real quick, without thinking, tell me one that you don't want anyone to know.
I don't know. I'm not afraid. Oh, Outlander. I love Outlander.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched
it. I've That's seen it, not watched it. Good. Yeah, that's so, got like a lot of
watch with your
story.
Lady.
Yeah,
I should check it out though.
You should season
it
one.
It might be my Twilight. You know what I mean? It might be my.
Hey, I have a movie recommendation for all you guys. And I avoided this movie for a long time, even though it was up for an award. And I think it won an Academy Award or two. But Green Book with Viggo Mortensen. God damn it.
I can't remember his name right.
Mortensen, right? Yeah. So it is so good. Green Book is a 5-star all around. I don't care what walk of life you come from. It's for everyone. Men, women, rich, poor, it does not matter. It's got everything. And it's funny. It's heartfelt. Like, it'll make you tear up. It's just fucking good. It's one of the better movies I've seen in a long time.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not seen it.
Yeah.
Sounds real nice.
Everybody should watch Green
like
Book.
A nice time.
My lady's been trying to get me to watch that for the better part of a year, and I'm always like, nah, I got to be in the mood. Like, it's going to be all serious, yeah. And it's just one of those movies that's really heavy. I'm not ready to get into all that, and it's not. It handles, you know, what was going on in that time as far as racism for entertainers, you know, and they, even though they were rich, they couldn't go to most of the country, you know, and stay in a hotel. Like, it captures all that, but it's still like the relationship between the two is so much fun because this is Guido, is his driver, like, who basically worked part time for the mafia as a thumb breaker. And he's also a door guy, gets his job as this guy's driver to take him on these gigs to the South, which hadn't been done by very many black entertainers at the time. He's a pianist, and it is fucking awesome. Awesome. So everybody watch Green Book.
Mahershala nice. Ali. He can do no wrong.
Yes. I couldn't think of his name. Thank you.
He's pretty great in everything he does.
Mm-hmm. He is.
Oh my gosh. From what is it?
True Detective.
Luke Cage, season 1.
He's great.
He was great. True Detective, amazing.
I don't want to go into spoiler alerts, but I thought he was terribly misused in that.
I've not seen it.
In Luke Cage.
Oh, he was good, but I wanted him to stick around.
I know. That's what I was getting at. Like, all of a sudden he's like amazing, and then he's just gone. And you're like, oh, well, the guy that's supposed to fill that void. Nowhere near his level.
Right.
So is he the main character?
He is not. He's one of the main bad guys.
Oh, okay.
Now, I heard he might be playing Blade.
I
heard that as well.
Which is going to be lit.
And I cannot. Be sweet. Did you guys love all the original Blades?
I loved all the original Blades.
Jeff, did you watch them?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right, so Blade.
What? Go on.
God damn it, Jeff.
You would like at least the first Blade because it has Wesley Snipes in it. He plays
like Wesley.
Yeah, and it was back in the heyday of Wesley too, right? Pre like Tax Evasion Wesley.
Yeah, but it was sort of his last solid acting move that he did.
Yeah. But he plays a daywalker, so he's like his mother he was born after his mother was infected by a vampire.
She was bit like when she was going to go into labor.
Yeah.
Oh, very.
So he has the best like of both worlds.
Kind of like Twilight.
He can walk around in the light, but he has all the power and strength of a vampire.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty dope.
Yeah. So it's basically a comic book character, superhero, but he's half vampire.
And he's a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
Speaking of vampires and Wesley Snipes, technically, you have to see, if you haven't seen this TV show yet, because it's based off the movie, What We Do in the Shadows on FX. Taika Waititi, this whole show is amazing.
What's it about?
It's these vampires, like they're filming a documentary. It's almost like how they do Modern Family, but it's a vampire group of, you know, vampires, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And they're just checking in with the camera crew and stuff, but they do have a familiar, you know, they're eating and killing people, and it's hilarious. It's very casual, and it's like a quick watch.
And there's other kinds of stuff too, there's werewolves, there's like witches and ghouls and all this other stuff that they encounter.
It's not hilarious. The case, but it's almost like we planned this, because you guys have no idea what I have on my questions list for today. But you guys are fucking meshing with, it's like a mind melt we have going on right now, because here's two of my questions. I'll ask the first one. If you were offered by a vampire to become a vampire and be immortal, but you had to live the rest of your life as a traditional vampire, would you do it? You can walk the earth for the rest of its time in existence, but you have to be a vampire.
Yeah, I would.
You would?
Okay. Do vampires kill people?
Well, hang on, though.
That's what we'll talk about.
Hang on, though.
Let's just say you do require blood for nutrition to stay alive.
Losing the family would be a big blow. That'd be hard. But I'd push on through, get into doing the vampire thing.
Okay.
But here's the deal. There's plenty of pieces of shit for you to eat for the rest of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of people you could kill without feeling really that bad about it for the rest of eternity.
Agreed. And let's go into why we would or wouldn't. But Jess, would you become a vampire?
I'd probably say no.
You would say no?
Yeah, just because I'd chicken out on all the killing part. I'm sure once I'm turned, you know, instincts take over. But I'd be like, I'll pass.
Okay. Jeff, you think you would do it?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff would make a fantastic vampire. Yeah.
I would totally do it.
Yeah, I have like 30 people in my Facebook feed right now that I would bite and kill tonight to feast off their blood.
Yeah. Feed on the feed, baby. Feed on the feed. That's going to be our vampire motto.
I think we would all thrive very well. I would be cool to be a vampire, I think. And not that I want to kill, but like I said, there's lots of people that need killing that nobody would care if you killed. So
aging is pretty dope.
Real dope. You can live through so many things, man.
Can't just give me some vamp retinol and I'm just trying to make that work. That's eye cream, guys. That stuff helps with wrinkles.
I think I would just communicate to the rest of the world and be like, hey, I'm a vampire, you guys, and you know I'm going to have to go around killing people. Or you guys could just all collect blood, give blood every day, keep me a little storage here to drink out of the chilled cabinet that I'll keep, and I won't kill anybody.
Has anyone ever defined how much blood is needed on a daily basis for a vampire to keep going?
Jeff, we can hop on Reddit and I guarantee you that some nerd has several spreadsheets depending on size and weight of said vampire.
Dude, I don't know if I am just a boomer. I know I'm not like a traditional boomer or just old as shit. I can't figure out Reddit or find shit on Reddit to save my goddamn life. I'm just like, Where are buttons and stuff? Like, just so confusing for my old ass.
The subreds.
Yeah.
I think that's like a defining one for maybe people in their 30s, sort of like Reddit's the last thing we're going to get. So whatever comes next, I don't do TikTok. I can't do it. And frankly, seeing people my age do TikTok is fucking depressing.
I have TikToked with my youngest.
I know you have.
Twice.
Jeff, I respect it. I did it once.
Child in with
I love
you.
Her.
Yeah.
You're doing it with a child.
She asked me to do it. I didn't ask her to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know.
No, but you can tell some of the parents were like, get your ass in here. We're doing a TikTok
And we got rehearsal at an hour and a half before.
Although I did say that when she was like, hey, I want to do a TikTok. I'm like, we're rehearsing this shit. I'm not going to embarrass myself. We re- rehearse for an hour and a half, and then I embarrass myself. Like, it, no amount of rehearsing was going to help my dancing. Like, it was, I'm just not good at it.
I love watching the dance videos, though, except if I was like, Don, let's do this dance video. He can, like, watch a choreography once and nail it.
Really?
He's so very jealous. Coordinated. He can sing and play. He can do whatever. He's like, hand him an instrument, and he's like, whatever. But really? Then if I tried to do it with him, he'd just be like, you're hitting it. And I'd be like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Never mind.
I made a meme today based on TikTok because it's true. It's something I've noticed. And the meme was just a bunch of cops like at a crime scene, like gloving up and looking down at something. And then in the caption, I put, hey guys, when this is over, you want to do a TikTok? Because cops love TikTok. Like every third one, when you scroll with some cop on duty in uniform, doing some kind of dance or something. Like this new generation of cops, that's all they're worried about. I think they only get hired now. Like they're seeing new people that never would try to be cops before only become cops to make their TikTok more cool.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Because they have a uniform.
My favorite right now is like how like some of the medical wards will, like the nurses or doctors will make like a 30-second TikTok.
Yeah.
And then all my conspiracy friends like post it and they're like, apparently people aren't dying because these motherfuckers have time to make a TikTok. And it's like, yeah, they just had to tell their 19th family someone died today. Sorry, they wanted to do something to lighten the mood for 30 seconds, you asshole. Like, well, they got time to TikTok, they got time for COVID. Like, fuck, you fucking assholes.
They get 15-minute breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
They're allowed to piss.
Yeah, Marnie got a bunch of those on one she did with this other dude nurse because they were in scrubs and they just did this dance thing and it was really cool looking. But then people were like, "Oh, I can't believe you're doing that at work." Da da da. It's like I have fucking lunch. It's the, you know, I'm allowed time out of surgery. Jeez. Like that's, we're not so in there over stupid. A body with a liver hanging out fucking do it slap.
Yeah, using their
yeah, you got a heart in one hand and a kidney in the other.
That is so fucking dumb. That
people are dumb.
Those people are out there putting their asses on the line to do that shit. I don't care if they want to smoke weed while they're doing it. It does not bother
me. Yeah.
Right. Except don't breathe it into my asthmatic lungs.
Exactly.
But that's the only thing.
But
the
but I mean, whatever.
The people that comment. Oh, yeah. But the people that comment like that on stuff like that are the ones I would definitely eat if I was a vampire. I would I would just totally, I would just monitor social media. When I saw somebody say something stupid like that, I would use my vampire brain to find them.
Where are they?
That would be amazing. I would hire you. Like, this guy left a really rude comment for no reason.
Oh, that'd be so
This is
great.
His IP address. Find him.
I would bring his severed head back to you.
Oh,
here you
amazing.
Go, Jess.
Well, like, here you go, baby.
Yeah. I will tell you, we'd get more views on the podcast. Like, all of a sudden, you're like out of the window, Todd, just look what I got, Jess.
End of the day.
And I think 1041 would really take off too, Todd.
It would. What way cooler stories. Why if all
third person about himself? This is crazy.
Can you imagine if all four of us were vampires? We would have the number one show. We would have we would be ahead of Rogan, our podcast would. We would be so popular.
But we could not be what we do in the shadows because it is fantastic.
I wonder if we would show up on cameras though. We might be invisible. We can do video. We would only have to do audio.
It just mirrors that we can't show up.
Well, maybe I wouldn't be mirrored anymore. Maybe I would know I'm pointing at who when I'm trying to point where, like over at Todd.
All right, here's my next question related to this topic. It is the worst monster to be. Like of all the TV and movie monsters, like the stereotypical ones, like what do you think would be the worst? Because I think we all agree vampire, probably pretty cool. So out of all the others, is there one you're like, oh, fucking, that sucks. I'm the mummy or whatever, you know?
Probably Frankenstein's monster because like you're just misunderstood and you're big and you can't run fast. You're just strong.
And thank you for saying Frankenstein's monster because I get sick and tired of people calling the monster Frankenstein. Frankenstein was the doctor.
Yeah.
It's just easier to say probably.
It is, but.
So. Also, like I'm not sure and I'm going to have a little nerd moment here. In the book, Frankenstein's monster actually starts to like get out ahead of humans. So like he is fast. He's like a superhuman almost. He's learning at an incredible rate. He's like at the end on par intellectually, in my perception, of Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah. There's a great series about that where it's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and a movie with Robert De Niro where he played Frankenstein's monster.
So he's just like trapped up in the Arctic thinking he's smarter than everybody.
Yeah. Oh.
Which is really just a libertarian, I think, at this point. Right? Well, I think he'd be libertarian.
Just living in the Arctic thinking he's got it all figured out.
Yeah. I need to read.
I've never read the book, but I've seen a movie and a TV show based on the book.
Yeah.
And so I get it. That's what I do. That's how I read books. Yeah. I just look for movies and TV shows that come out based on the books.
I listen to books, but then talk later like I read them.
See, I hate when people are like, oh, I'm reading this, and then it's an audio tape. It's like, no, you're listening this.
Yes.
You aren't reading it. Like, there's a difference. Anyone can listen. It's way easy to lay on your couch and listen to, like,
so just say you're enjoying.
Read a goddamn book takes effort. It takes time. It takes energy. Like, I can't read a book on my way to work, but I can fucking listen to one, which means it's way too easy. That doesn't count. You should have to say you'd listen to it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Austin, for being honest.
Yeah.
I am one of those who appreciate it.
You just enjoy them is what you do. And then let people decide if you're a listener or a reader when it comes to books.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I'm neither. I don't want to listen to your book or read your book. So not doing it.
I thought that listening to books would be a much easier way to consume it. And I've listened to a couple to prepare for different topics in 1041. And it's equally as miserable as reading books. So it's like, oh, this is a person who's not good at telling a story because you're telling it just as if I was reading it. So it's, does not help. Like if I could get cool, like Samuel Jackson to read the book or something, that would be a cool book. But it's not. Yeah. It's some author who is not good at reading in an entertaining fashion.
I wish I would have been Teen Wolf back when I was a teen. Like I think that's one of the worst monsters, but I think it's one of the best.
It does look painful. When they transform, it looks painful every time.
Yeah,
that's
when
the only
their
thing
fingernails that, grow, that looks fucking painful as shit.
And they do a lot of screaming.
As they're turning. I'm not a fan of that. But I'm already pretty hairy. So I figure like I'm most of the way there.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't like the fact that it just comes on based on moon cycles. Like, I want to be able to control that shit. Like,
yeah, agreed. I think The Mummy for me, just because you're just an old crusty piece of shit and you're just wrapped up, you know, I'm not into it. Those movies are stupid. There's never been a good Mummy movie. It's because the character sucks.
That's fair.
Yeah. And Brendan Fraser, he sucks. So.
Oh, I love him. You take that back. He's fantastic. And Now and Then.
He had a couple okay movies.
Encino Man. Sorry.
Encino Man. I did Encino Man. Is there a monster that you would hate to be, Jess? Because you're pretty into monsters, I feel like. You said Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that was the wrong answer now Austin. That I learned the truth about him.
I don't know, though. He's still pretty miserable. The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Any of them? Or whatever? I mean, just because you just have a hunchback. And I'm assuming a good personality, but it's really just a hunchback.
I also, Austin, don't think they're technically monsters. I think they're just people with disabilities. So.
Well. I guess really I don't want to be me right now because I'm a monster.
That's the worst monster to be, is the guy who mistakes people with disabilities as monsters.
Oh my God, look at that monster. It's like I'm blind, you asshole.
No, he gets lumped in with the monsters enough.
Look at that feely sunglasses monster with the cane.
Oh my God. Oh, the Beast. Can I pick Beast and Beauty and the Beast? Is that a monster?
But he had a beautiful heart and a beautiful soul.
He lived in a fucking sewer. Like, that's the worst life anyone could... Like, I want to be an above-ground monster. And like, I don't want to live down in the shit and piss and, like, fucking tampons. Like, that shit sucks. Like, I want to be above ground.
I don't need Pennywise.
That's the scene they missed is during their kiss. She's like, ugh, and he has a tampon stuck in his beard.
Yeah, a bunch of seaweed and shit hanging out of it. Gross.
Also, he made who was the broad in that? Belle?
Belle was Twilight, right?
Harry Potter.
Yeah, Belle.
And Beast? Beauty and the Beast? Beast? Belle, yeah.
Was it? Okay.
Or was Belle the...
He made her 100% responsible for him getting over all of his shit. And that's a lot to put on somebody.
That's true. You
don't go into a relationship with those type of fucking...
Especially for a sewer rat. You should take anything you can get. Like, you shouldn't be...
There's nothing wrong with sewer rats because Splinter was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, but he was a master. Yeah, that's true. He was, he was one of the good
ones.
He was
incredible.
And those kids would have had, they would have turned out to be pieces of shit if he hadn't found them.
They really would have. He really instilled a sense of duty and honor in such a young age.
Like,
I think he was hitting them down in the sewer, right? So that's how you do that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Keep them away from
corruption. He also gave them weapons.
Yeah. You know what we should do is teach all you guys how to fight.
Now that you're a teenager, I'd like to give you some swords.
We all hated Raphael, though, right? He was such a little whiny teenager.
I was a big Michelangelo guy. These two won't have an opinion. You're going to have to ask them about, like, Friends or something.
I was in the Michelangelo. I'm trying to remember. I was still a kid when the first generation of Ninja Turtles started.
Like you would have been a teenager, maybe?
Yeah, I was like... I would have probably ninth grade. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my son had a Ninja Turtles video game. That's all I know of. And I would play it with him all the time.
It was a cool video game.
Yeah.
Jessica, you're Donatello?
Michelangelo and Donatello were my two favorites. When I played with my brother and the neighborhood boys, I was always April.
Yeah. Because you're a lady.
April was cool, though.
She was. She is.
But you wanted to be a turtle, though.
You didn't get any weapons.
I did. So if I got to be a turtle, I think I end up being Donatello because he's purple.
Okay. Yeah. So all the other guys are like, I don't want to be purple. Let's make the chick purple.
Basically. Yeah.
So all the kids are carrying around sticks and stuff, and you're just there with like a shitty disposable camera.
Recording it and chasing after turtles trying to kiss them. Love me, Donatello, or whoever it is. Michelangelo, whoever's
not brother. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, I have another question. Well, we covered favorite things to grill. We covered all the monster questions and Green Book. So my last one is, who do you think, like, I thought about this the other day because I might or might not have been high, but I saw my computer as I was laying on the couch watching Netflix go, the screensaver come on. And I was like, man, that must suck. Like, if that's your job to create screensavers, like, there's way worse jobs, but you know, like, the dream was Pixar. And now you just design animated screensavers. Like something went wrong in chasing that dream, you know? Like, I wanted to be making monsters and now I'm making swirly electrical thing currents. Yeah. Not so much a question, just an observation.
My my son has a program on this Roblox, which, by the way, I'm on a 9-email fucking quest to get my daughter's password unlocked. Somebody hacked her Roblox account, which is this gaming thing for kids. And fucking, I hate it. Like, but on there, they have like a million different games on there. One of the things is a thing where you can build your own screensaver as a kid. So my son the other day was making his own screensavers.
Maybe he'll be a professional screensaver designer.
He did a pretty good job. I was impressed with all the screensavers he came up with.
But that's somebody's full-time job, right? So you work for Apple or Samsung or whatever device makers are out there to manufacturers, and you sit in your office each day and make cool screensavers. Because there's no shortage of them, and people get tired of their screensaver very quickly.
I have to feel, though, that for someone who knows what they're doing, that takes like 4 minutes.
That's what I'm thinking.
Probably.
Like they make like 100 in one day and then don't make any for 5 years. Yeah. Like I feel like that's how. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never made a screensaver
before. My favorite thing, like when you were a kid, you go in the computer lab and you'd make a your screensaver come on like in 1 minute, and you'd make the scrolling message that goes across, and it's like a really long message like so and so is a turd, and you'd be like,
right,
that's the best. That is all. I made it right.
What like, the computers say cool. about you, Brad?
You smell. I'm not telling you what the computer told you.
I remember seeing my very first computer when I was in seventh grade. They brought it in to the class and they set it down, and we were like, what in the fuck is that? And they're like, this is a computer.
1978.
Yeah. Why is this typewriter hooked to the TV?
Very first computer I ever saw, and it was the first generation of Commodore, and they set it up there, and the whole hour was dedicated to teaching us how to do one command prompt, and when you hit run, it would just the two words you typed, it would go repeatedly running up and down vertically on the screen.
Oh wow!
Took about 50 minutes. Of coding to make those two words bounce around a screen like that. Like, it was so primitive.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. We're just following every, like, we're like, we don't even know what computers are. It's like, do this, do that, do this, do that. And like you, I put Kevin Farted on mine because I refused to just put Todd McComas. And, yeah.
I love it.
The very first, until you said that, I was like, you know, I actually saw my very first computer. I was in seventh grade. That's fucking weird. It makes me old as fuck. I get it, but
you're fine, Todd.
Like, Austin, you were just born and computers were there.
I'm kind of in a weird, which Jessica, I think you probably are too. I know about like when there was a computer lab you walked to.
Mm-hmm.
And same. Then also had computers invade my life and become an everyday thing. Mm-hmm. So like I lived both worlds.
Yeah, like the
bit.
Elementary school was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Gosh, computer lab, so much fun. You had to go to DOS.
It's weird because like I remember dial up internet, all that crap. Mm-hmm. But when Ethernet came around, it became everyday thing. Yeah. That was it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not 12, Todd.
When I first got internet, like if you downloaded a photo, it took like a half an hour to download one photo.
Oh yeah.
And so you would be downloading this chick and you would like you'd be like, oh, this is hot. She's beautiful. And then, oh, check out those tits. And then you'd be like almost ready to finish. And then like her dick would be revealed at the bottom. And you would have to decide whether or not to finish or just. Those were always so disappointing. And let's be honest. I never made it to the bottom. I finished in the first 3 minutes as soon as I saw Booby.
Dial-up internet
and I
was
done.
A young man's game. You had to have that staying power to jam down to dial-up internet.
Yeah.
You just go into a chat room, though, and you get like sexually harassed instantly with ASL, and then some creepy guys like want a cyber. And it's like, I'm 11. And they're like,
yeah,
so
that's
yes
the point.
Or no.
So, you know,
yes, that's so weird.
You know what was beautiful in the
God,
day?
I hope my kids aren't going to that.
Remember Bear Share and what was the big one?
Napster.
For Pirate to Napster. Like, that was the shit. You could get any song you wanted for free. We thought it was the shit, but it would take you also like 36 hours to download an entire like 6 songs to make your you know, baseball practice mix or whatever that you'd write on there with a Sharpie, you know. And but I remember having to do it. You would do it the day before and let it run the rest of the day into the night.
Yeah.
And it might be ready in the next morning.
Or it could fuck up and you get nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I remember we had like a rich friend that she had DSL and she could download a song in like a minute. And it was like witchcraft.
Oh, yeah.
It was just the craziest thing. So we all had to go over there and burn CDs and do that stuff.
Also, when you used BearShare to do it, you would burn through computers like condoms it would just infect you every third go around. It was just filled with viruses and shit. And you'd have to just clean your whole system out and start all over again. Yeah.
Jeff, is this the bullet you have?
That is the bullet I'm drinking. Yeah. I can't help but notice you're not just stringing bullet. You're making old fashions.
I'm making old fashions over here.
I love it.
Do you have a complete old fashioned kit over there?
So I got Angusta bitters, yeah. A couple dashes of that. I do three. And then you're going to do is you're going to do a half shot of simple syrup. You can buy it in the store. I make my own. This is some Earl Grey ginger peach simple syrup.
Fancy ass.
About an ounce and a half of that, shot and a half. And then you do an orange peel, right?
Yeah.
But little trick. I use this little cheese cutter, which I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
It could be a peeler. I normally cut cheese with it.
But I think I use it cheese for scraping my feet.
I can never cut or peel an orange, so.
And you come along the outside. You get yourself big fat guy. Don't do those little skinny guys.
Mm-hmm. I like the big fat guy. That's dope.
You do a little twist to get the oils to pop out of it. Run it around the rim a little bit. And then normally you'd put ice in here, but I got this Yeti going. So I'm just going to dump it all in there.
Nice.
Boop.
And the slice goes in there.
Ooh.
Perfect.
Good to go. I love old fashioned.
Can you tell me how to make this simple syrup? Is this like a time and like
simple
do we
syrup
have time?
Is one part water, one part sugar.
Yeah, that's but it? You had a bunch of other shit in there, like boysenberry.
Well,
and
you make tea in the water, then put it in the sugar.
Really?
Jesus. And then you just shake it up and stick it in the fridge.
Here's what I did for my drink. I grabbed one of my Pure Life sweet teas. Mm-hmm. Filled my glass half full, and then I took some Kirkland, which is the Costco brand vodka, and filled it the rest of the way up and put a couple ice cubes in there.
You're drinking a vodka sweet tea?
Yeah, I am.
You going to use that sweet tea for a spitter later?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I saved the bottles over here.
Do you have a favorite drink to use for a spitter? Like what
anything with a big mouth on it. Like Pure Leaf has a wide mouth bottle.
Yeah.
Anything wide mouth is better.
I would suggest anyone who needs a spitter, get something with a full label on the outside so the rest of us don't have to see it. It is like, it is the most fucking head injury level thing that people who start dipping are like, oh, this casual bottle of spit I have is fine to just swing around, talk with my hands, tell fucking elaborate stories with my spitter.
That's why, like when I would do it at work, I would only use coffee cups with lids that came from the gas station. I would purposely every day go to work and get one on the way to work so that I could have that cup for the rest of the day because it hides everything. And at the end of the day, I go in the bathroom, dump it, rinse it out, throw it away. But I worked with plenty of dudes that were like, oh, no, let's just take this little water bottle, even peel the label off, and then the wrapper peeler would be in there mixed with the spit.
There's no point in peeling the label off. You're not going to get it confused with your water.
I know. It's brown and yucky.
Or I guess if it's a tea. No, you'll still know. It's
just a cleanse?
I think you'll know.
Is that a smoothie you're drinking? What is that? Gross. And people who do seeds aren't any better. It's like, just get the fucking seed out.
It looks just as bad. It doesn't smell as bad, but it looks just as bad.
Jeff, do you do seeds?
Back when I landscaped all the fellas I worked with, they ate a lot of them spicy. Spicy.
Yeah.
They liked them spicy or ranch.
My wife not eats a fan. Ranch. It's the thing I hate the most about her. Those ranch sunflower seeds. Jesus, I've never been more disappointed.
My lady, honestly. My lady is anything ranch. She will dip anything in ranch. She will dip her, when she eats pizza, she'll pour ranch on her plate and so dip in it.
So do we.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not me, my lady.
It's just a lady thing then?
No, I eat ranch on my pizza. Johnny does it
too. You do? Now, I like a chicken bacon ranch pizza.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if it's made that way, but I'm not going to take my pizza with marinara sauce on it.
Oh man!
And then put it.
Those
I don't know.
Tombstone pizzas are perfect with ranch, though.
They are.
Like it adds something to it because they're kind of just very. It's not extra saucy.
I love Tombstone pizza. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic.
I do too. It's delicious.
It's my favorite frozen pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious.
I'll be honest. I put ranch on my baked potato on top of my sour cream.
No, I am a fan of that.
And my cheese. So my baked potato. I start with the butter, get it melted. I hit it with the cheese, get that melting. Then I hit it with the sour cream. Probably as much equal parts sour cream, equal parts potato. Then I hit it with a drizzle of ranch across the top, but I bring the ranch to the table because once I work through the initial, I hit it again halfway through the tater.
Because
that's how I do my potato.
Those other toppings aren't going to get you through that whole potato, Jeff. No. You're doing the dairy quattro, and I salute you for it.
No, you're doing it right. You can't let it. It's like biscuits and gravy. You can't let it run out of gravy. If once it goes dry, I'm done. Same way with a pancake. Once there's no more syrup, it's not a pool of syrup, I'm done with the pancake.
Jeff, I'm the same way. By the time I eat a baked potato, I've eaten like 4,000 calories and toppings.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I mean, nothing but baked potatoes.
I'm the same way with loaded fries because it's basically a loaded baked potato. But I always have to have a side of ranch to, after I have all the other goodness on there, to dip it off.
Jessica, what's the least ladylike thing you eat?
Oh, I don't know.
What's the thing you're most ashamed of that you eat?
This is ladylike. I eat a whole tub of Cool Whip. Just Cool Whip.
Just like with a spoon? Cool Whip?
Yeah. It's
holy
delightful.
Shit.
So you eat it like it's ice cream?
Yes.
Like you one sitting?
I can, but usually I'll just do half in a sitting.
Do you prefer it?
When I'm sad, he'll be like, here's some Cool Whip.
Yay! I love it.
And KFC coleslaw. It's almost like this perfect little variety meal.
Wow. Really?
Do you prefer the tub of cool frozen? I'm assuming it's frozen out of the freezer, Cool Whip.
Mm-hmm. You have to let it thaw. If you have it frozen, which I've not waited before, it's not
it tastes a little bit like butter when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little extra creamy.
I watched now. I'm not a TikTok fan, but I watched this one TikTok video for a very long time, and it was someone that has a monkey that lives in their house.
Well, you can do TikTok if you have a monkey. That only makes sense.
I think you have have to. And so the monkey comes carrying a can of Ready Whip in this hand, and it walks up to the mom, and it looks up so sad, and it keeps hitting the Ready Whip can up to her until finally she takes it and he holds out his hand and she fills the hand and he just sits there having the best time of his life eating Ready Whip whipped cream out of his hand, out of his paw, and then he would lick it clean and then he would hold his hand up and she hand him the can and he would go run off with it like he was putting it away. It was the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
Now, when and it was a little mom, monkey. You mean a human or another monkey lady?
Human mom.
Okay.
That would even be better.
Monkey lady. Let's talk about the single monkey mom.
And she's working TikTok.
Yeah. She's got a TikTok. That's incredible.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
Yeah. I literally watched it probably 30 times in a row. It was the most adorable thing I've ever seen.
I don't know if it's still on there, but on Netflix, there used to be a show called Escape to Chimp Eden.
Really?
And this guy goes around rescuing chimps.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing's adorable. It's very enjoyable. It's very endearing. But there's a great episode where a guy's trying to tranquilize a chimp with a dart full of ketamine because it was used as like a storefront chimp.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to take it to Chimp Eden. And at the last minute, he gets up real close to shoot it. And at the last minute, the chimp pushes the gun and the guy shoots himself in the leg.
Oh, my God.
You got a dart in your neck.
There's a great shot of him looking at everyone he's with like, what's going to happen to me? But it's just funny because the whole time they're kind of building up to like, you know, chimps can read body language and they know your intention more than you'd think. And at the last minute, this chimp just pushes the gun real quick.
That is awesome.
That's beautiful.
I bet you can YouTube that.
What's the name of this again?
Chimp
Escape
Eden?
Chimp Eden.
So Eden was the chimp sanctuary.
Yeah.
And it was all about him going to getting chimps and bringing them
and
to the sanctuary.
And he would go and he'd get chimps, orangutans, bonobos. I don't know if he had any gorillas. I think that's a big step to get into gorillas. That's a big responsibility.
Yeah, there's no cuteness there. It's pretty much just...
No, that's raw power.
Yeah. It's going to kill you.
What's a show that maybe was on for a season that you loved, or maybe two that no one heard about or no one else you knew, but then it just disappeared and you wish it never would have. Jess.
Oh, my God.
Doctor. It was on CBS like in 1989 and 1990, starring Matt Frewer, which you may know him as, crap, I forget his name. He's on Fear of the Walking Dead. Who's the Max Headroom?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Matt Okay. Furr, totally a great show. My family watched it. It was a whole ordeal. It disappeared. You cannot find it anywhere except the pilot is on YouTube, I think.
Oh.
I'm so glad you asked that, Jeff. It's like I've been waiting for years to say that.
And it's Dr. Doctor?
Uh-huh.
That, I love that guy.
And what was it about?
It was
two doctors.
A doctor's office in Providence, Rhode Island. And they had great characters. It was really funny.
It sounds like a shitty version of Wings.
Oh, no. It was very funny because he's silly. He was like a, not like a Jim Carrey, but very animated.
Right.
And so.
Oh, dude, I grew up on Max Headroom.
I did too.
Fucking, yeah. I love that shit.
Oh, don't that, miss he was it. Pepsi, Tony, I Shrunk wasn't the he? Kids, mm-hmm. yes. the neighbor. That's what he is.
All right.
That's gay.
What about you, Austin?
I want to say Freaks and Geeks.
Oh, that's a good one.
Was fantastic. So I liked John from Cincinnati on HBO. I don't know if you guys remember that at all.
I was going to say that when you fucker.
Yeah.
That's my favorite show that only went one season.
And so it was written by the same guy that wrote Deadwood, and he's got an amazing knack for dialogue.
That's my number two because it only ran two seasons.
People who hate Deadwood, one of the biggest things they tell me is like, I can't stand the way they talk. And it's like, it's written using the language that they would have back then. I don't know if it's true, but this guy has a very sort of puzzly way to do dialogue, and it's incredible.
Yeah, he makes it almost Shakespearean. So it's almost like they talk in prose, but in old-timey Wild West language.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
He brought that same gift into John from Cincinnati, and I think it helps that there's a couple like cryptic people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I wish we'd have gotten another season because where it was headed, I'm like, this is getting wild. This is super interesting.
Did that end because of the writer's strike?
I think it did. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was that time. Him. Yeah. And in Deadwood's case, it just, they planned for another season and then they just, the network, HBO just made a decision. Nah, we're not doing another one.
Did
so they
put out a movie though?
Yeah. Because so many people bitched.
Yeah.
It kind of got a cult following years after it ended. And they, so they made a movie to like kind of wrap everything up real quick. And that movie kind of sucked. But yeah. How about you, Jeff?
I don't even know if it's not. I only saw one season of it. It was called Meteorite Men.
I never heard of it.
And it was just these dudes that basically went out with metal detectors and tried to find out where meteors crashed and find pieces of meteorites and then sell them to people.
There were three seasons.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And basically, it was just like two guys with metal detectors out in the middle of the desert just for half an hour. Like, and they would go, oh, look, I found this. And they'd be like, oh, this is worth $22,000. And they'd be like, sweet. And then that was the end of the episode. It was the most. But I loved it. Like, they were just kind of geeks. And they would trace where these meteors had, like, and where the splatter patterns and kind of things would be. And yeah, I don't know why I loved it. It was like very zen, like just chill out. And
hey, if it's well done, it's well done. You know what I mean? Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't matter what the subject matter is. It's just sometimes it just magic happens. That's like John from Cincinnati. It made no sense, but like three episodes in, I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What was it about?
So it's about a surfing family. And there are three generations of surfers. There's a dad, and then there's his son, and then he's got like a kind of a way younger son, like another son that was born maybe 15 years, 18 years later. And it's about the youngest son is like a surfing phenom. And they're a whole surfing family. They've all been pros. And the youngest son gets into an accident and is paralyzed. And then all the shit starts happening around him. And I mean, I guess I'll just say it. Then there's like a miracle. And then the youngest son is fine, perfectly fine. And so it's about like kind of figuring out, okay, who are all these people around us now? And what's their significance? They don't allude if this one dude's like an angel or a fucking alien.
Yeah, that's what sucked by it ending is because you're like, there's something going on. It's kind of paranormal, you know, the shit going on. And then you're like, there's something about this dude, the mysterious stranger. What's going to be the connection? But and then
there's an illusion that the family is significant because like the oldest dad, who's a surfing dude, he starts levitating
Yeah, I forgot about
that. Surfing legend, and in it, like, people comment, like, oh, you rode a board like it was nothing. And it's kind of alludes, like, yeah, it's because you can subconsciously, like, make yourself levitate. The real young son, he has the miracle healing thing, and I don't know if they mention if he has any other powers. But then the middle son is like, he was like a bad boy surfer who had all this potential and then becomes a drug addict and spins out. So I don't know if they're going to allude to him having something about him as well, but it kind of ended before it got to really pay off.
Yeah, it just, I mean, you can tell, like, they were planning for a very long run because yeah. It was nothing but unanswered questions. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Everyone was,
there was a lot to tie it together.
I don't, Ed O'Neill was in it.
Great actors. I mean, if you saw the cast, like IMDb, yeah. Even if you don't, I can't think of a lot of their names, but it's like the who's who of people you've seen all over the place.
It's really great.
Since then. Yeah.
So that ended from the writer's strike. There was another show called Pushing Daisies. Yeah. And it was really good on ABC, and it ended basically because of the writer's strike.
Oh, really?
It's like, it had another couple seasons left of like valuable content, but they just kind of wrapped it up real quick.
You know, Marnie mentioned that she didn't care for Sopranos.
Yeah.
And I have to say that, like, after season three, I didn't really care for it either.
You could
lost me.
You definitely couldn't. As great as I thought it was, you had to be hooked by the time season three came around. Like, you couldn't walk in and start with season three. It wasn't good enough. But the first two seasons, I thought, were pretty phenomenal.
But there were some pretty brilliant episodes in all the seasons. I mean, I'll give them that. I just thought it's real magical when it first starts, and then it kind of loses its luster for sure.
I found I was digging today because I had a little break, and I was like, I like to look up shit on movies, so I found some kind of useless movie trivia, if you guys want it. I only have it on my phone, so I had to put my old man glasses on.
Your readers?
Yeah. You know, Armageddon, I think everybody universally loves Armageddon. It's like a crowd-pleaser type movie, right? Turn off your brain for a little bit and just watch some cool-ass dudes have a good time, save the world.
So, I hope some guy who did marketing for Armageddon hears this and just gets a tear in his eye. Like, we nailed our demographic, guys.
So here's some trivia you might not know about that show. NASA actually shows this film during their management training program, and new managers are given the task of trying to spot as many errors as possible. At least 168 have been identified in watching that movie. So you can imagine, like, at first they're like, tell the makers of that movie, do you know NASA uses this in their training? Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah.
What's like the first error? They got an oil crew that they sent out into space.
You're really relying a lot on Ben Affleck, and that feels like a mistake.
Yeah, we just found two right there.
I think Jennifer Gardner has realized you cannot count on Ben Affleck.
Yeah. And then the fact that he got engaged to Steven Tyler's daughter, another mistake.
Freaking animal cracker crap.
Ugh. I know. Didn't he put it down her underwear?
Yeah.
Man, crackers and
girls. He danced it all over her body. Yeah.
Watch the show. Crazy.
Did you guys like The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio?
I did.
Academy Award winner. Really?
Well, Donnie's like, you probably wouldn't like it. I'm like, probably not. When it's animals.
You weren't allowed? Or is that just a cute way of saying you were warned?
It was a cute way to say I was warned. He would never actually say, you're not allowed to.
I about soured on the Don.
No, he would never.
It was a great movie, but in that, just know Leonardo DiCaprio actually made the choice to devour an entire raw slab of bison's liver in it. So they look real. And he's a vegetarian. So he was like, he doesn't even eat meat in his real life. But he's like, you know what? We're not faking this. Just give me a real bison's liver and I'll eat it. He ate a whole liver for the movie. That's why Leo's the best.
Can you imagine being the guy who's got to go get that, and you're showing up at Bison Farms being like, all right, this is for Leonardo DiCaprio.
I know.
Get the fuck out of here.
I need the smallest liver possible.
Also, the rest of the cast and the crew were probably like, you know, very noble of you to, you know, we respect the integrity of your acting, but also it's 2018. We can make it look just like a real bison's liver. You don't have to do this. And it can be delicious. We'll make you whatever you want. A chef makes it.
Yeah.
You want to
make it out of tofu? Yeah. So, all right. Saving Private Ryan. Tom Sizemore. Has everybody seen Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah.
How sad is that?
Oh, I know. I cried. Tom Sizemore. Actually, Jeff was battling his heroin addiction issues during the filming, so much so that Steven Spielberg almost fired him, but and they negotiated where he had to come in every day and submit to a blood test for drugs, and then with one, if he failed one time, they said that they would fire him and reshoot all his scenes with someone else.
Whoa.
Wow.
But he made it through it.
Dude, he's one of my favorite, like, I always thought he was just the most badass actor.
And I loved him.
Man, did he fucking, did drugs get that guy bad? I feel horrible for that dude.
The guy, he played some of my favorite roles.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about he and Saving Private Ryan and Black Hawk Down. And then he just turned, you see him in a hotel room, like playing in his own shit. And he weighs like 70 pounds. It's like, come on, dude. You were a badass.
Come on.
Did you know that? I hope I say her name right. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman.
Gal Gadot.
Okay. She was pregnant during most of that filming, and they had to put a green screen suit over her stomach to hide the pregnancy.
What movie?
Wonder Woman.
Oh. Yeah. Shit.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That's pretty cool. She was 5 months pregnant.
Did you get this off?
remember Castaway with Tom Hanks?
Never saw it. But everyone with Wilson? Always told me
I Wilson. Like him, so. Yeah, you do, actually. All right, so in the, there's a dramatic difference. There's two Tom Hanks in that movie, right? Pre-Island and then on the island, Tom Hanks. Yeah. So he actually just gained a bunch of weight and stopped working out for like 8 months to film the first part of that movie. And then they had to take a one-year hiatus for him to grow his own hair out so he wouldn't have to wear a wig and actually lose a ton of weight and work out till he got super like trim and skinny as if he was stranded on an island.
Gosh.
These guys.
I couldn't lose 10 pounds in 8 months if I tried.
I couldn't do it.
How many other movies shortcut this shit? And he's like, you know what? Let's just take, we'll take a year off. Tom can grow his hair out so we don't have to get a wig. That's so much commitment on behalf.
Jess, if you had a personal chef, a personal trainer, a personal knock it the fuck out of your hand person,
they wouldn't let me eat the whole bag of pizza rolls. But the fact,
like, let's say one of us goes out for an audition and they go, you have the role, and you're like, well, here's how we're gonna play this. We're gonna hire everybody for 6 months. We're gonna shoot this. Then everyone's gonna take a year off. Nobody's gonna work. Nobody's gonna do anything. You guys are gonna wait for me to grow my fucking hair out and for my personal chef and my personal trainer to get me in shape. Then you'll all come back to work a year later when I'm ready. And then we'll shoot the rest of the film. Everybody down? Is that cool? Is that cool with everyone?
No one change your hair.
Exactly. Oh, now, the rest of you motherfuckers better not change at all. Oh, wait. I never saw the movie. So
I don't want to criticize the guy who made that movie, but it might have been easier to do that in reverse because I doubt they casted it and said we're shooting tomorrow. They probably had a good 8-9 months up to a year, and they could have said, start now, Tom. Don't cut your hair for the next year and lose a bunch of weight and work out a bunch, and then we'll only take 3 weeks off for you to get sloppy and we'll get a haircut.
You know what,
and
though?
Shoot the beginning.
They probably, it was easier if they needed to cut any more scenes. They'd rather have island scenes as opposed to they could CG him or put him in a fat suit to pull that off.
Look at you thinking all industry. That's totally probably the reason.
It's easier crack to make code. Him fat than it is to make him skinny.
I've never seen that movie, just for the record. That's why I sound so ignorant.
It's very good. And it stands the test of time. It's an old movie, but it's still good today.
Yeah.
All right. The last one's about the movie The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Oh, here we go.
Fantastic actor, Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser nearly died during a scene where his character is hanged. Rachel Weisz remembered he stopped breathing. And EMTs had to resuscitate him.
Holy crap.
It's too bad he survived.
What do you have a problem with Brendan Fraser for?
So many bad movies since then. So he's the king of bad movies, you have to admit.
No. I do not. Nick Cage doesn't make that great of movies anymore.
Nick Cage. Agreed. We could do without Nick Cage as well. Nick Cage
is a fantastic actor.
He's just in shitty movies. Horrible movies.
I just saw a clip today. I got on FX or whatever channel the movie Next was on, which I've never seen, but it was a car coming down a cliff and Nick Cage just looks at it and then ducks and he survives and the car just rolls over him.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, God.
There was a period where Nick Cage and Tom Hanks had the same haircut where they just are missing their sideburns. It's unnerving, to be honest. It's hard not to notice that they're both. So Tom Hanks lost his sideburns for Da Vinci Code. And Nick Cage just lost his sideburns from like 99 to 2011. No sideburns.
I don't know what happened to him. If he just thought this is cool now. Yeah,
somebody told him, get rid of him. You don't need him. You're Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Okay. What is, I have mine, and that's why I'm asking this. What is one movie that had a bunch of stars in it that you were super excited about because it had some of your favorite people, and then just turned out to be a huge piece of shit? And mine is Con Air. I have never, like, I was expecting such a good film. It had so many big stars I loved. And just a piece of shit from
I'm expecting a hard rebuttal from Todd here.
I have to disagree with you, Jeff. I thought it was deserving of every Academy Award available.
Are you kidding me?
I just enjoyed it. Put the bunny.
This is a hard Armageddon demographic right here. Con Air was the natural evolution of that.
What?
I really enjoyed it. I'm a big John Cusack fan. I thought he nailed it. You know, I don't know.
There's a lot of good people in that.
There was some charm in how bad his Southern accent was. I don't know.
They stacked it up for sure.
Give us all those actors and the four of us could write a better fucking film before we go to bed tonight.
I know. Okay. It kind of was a waste of resources.
One movie I thought was going to be really good was the latest Ghostbusters. All those women in it are fantastic and everything. It's the people that made Bridesmaids, which is one of my favorite movies.
It's one of the best comedies of all time.
Love Bridesmaids.
It literally, I mean, I got so mad when so many dudes I knew, they're like, oh, Bridesmaids isn't funny. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. That's the funniest movie made that decade, probably. It's that whole crew. I thought it was going to be amazing, and it didn't. I don't know. I don't know what it was. It just didn't get off the ground for me.
I'm going to say Grown-Ups. To this day, still pissed off about Grown-Ups.
Oh, now you're.
Did you like it, Jess?
Adam Sandler could do no wrong.
Adam Sandler does.
I won't even.
It had everybody I love in it, and I was just like,
say Jack and Jill.
How do we do it? Maybe that one wasn't. Oh, yeah, I thought it was Dullsville. I'm like, Jesus.
Did you like the sequel?
No, I didn't like any of them.
Fun.
They're not good.
Jessica, what about you?
I can't think of it. I'm trying to think of what it's called.
Nights
at the Hotel, whatever.
Hotel Artemis.
It's with Chris Hemsworth as the bad guy with the open shirt. John Hamm's in it.
Bad Times at the
Hotel
El Rey or whatever.
Yeah, something like real close to that. I saw it too. Yeah, it was sucked. It sucked.
I couldn't stop watching, but I was like.
Yeah. And we should have known by the trailer showed this is just weird and it's not going to work. But
Bad Times at the El Royale.
Yes. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. It was horrible, Jeff. Don't watch it.
Well, I'll be honest, Todd. I would have liked Con Air if you would have just like taken 10 normal actors who I'd never seen before and they made that film,
right.
I would have fucking loved it.
No,
but the fact you had all this talent and that's what you produce, you suck.
Jeff, it was a personality vehicle. There is nothing cerebral about the plot. There's no character development. There's nothing to explore or learn. Old boy's like a former Army Ranger who got sent down the creek and you got shithead starting shit.
That's it. Done. That's pretty much it.
Right. Yeah. And we could have anyone start that shit.
Die Hard on a plane.
I know. We could have anyone start that shit.
But what if we had Nick Cage do it?
You know what? I'm ashamed to say. Well, actually, I'm not ashamed. It's fine. Donnie actually quoted Con Air this week, and I forget what part. It was something about Lynyrd Skynyrd playing when they get on the plane, and they go, "Huh? Well, that's not good."
Yeah.
Well, they all die in a plane. Yeah. We are. It's like whatever it was, like Steve Buscemi says. Or
thanks yeah. for proving my point.
Steve Buscemi was the weird. She just hit a button. Hang on. She's back. She's back.
She is.
Just switching places on
this. This is easier for me. Now I can just
down. Because you instantly came back. I think the system took a hiccup or something. The system farted.
Oh,
that was kind of cool.
It was the Nick Cage gods.
Steve Buscemi. If I was him, I would have said, I'm not playing this role. Because he played a weird, creepy serial killer guy. Like, wasn't needed. Wasn't needed.
There it is.
We're playing fingers.
Yeah. It was basically like how he is in Armageddon, though. He's the crazy kind of wacko guy. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to pay taxes again, and I'm going to take out this huge loan and leave me with the bomb. Trust me, guys.
Mm-hmm. No. And he goes crazy.
And he's great in all the Adam Sandler movies, including Grown Ups.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? I think he was the best one in Grown Ups.
What's up, my fellow kids, or whatever.
Steve Buscemi is in a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
He is.
Isn't he?
He loves him.
He is one of my favorite actors.
I just watched David Spade's interview with, like, Sandler came on David Spade's new show.
Yeah.
And it was the most enjoyable 25 minutes I've spent of my life. Watching those two go back and forth and talk about the good old days. Yes. And they just two buddies catching up almost. Like it was great. Like they talked about when they first met all the way into making movies together and all this stuff. It was fucking funny and kind of heartfelt. And it was literally the best 25 minutes to half hour of television I've ever seen.
I love that. I love that because so many comedians do podcasts where they interview people and they interview other comedians. And it'll be the same shit over and over again. But when somebody gets like their best comedy friend on there, you can feel it because they don't even talk about anything. And they're just like squealing before everything they say.
Yeah.
It's adorable.
Yeah, it was really good. I'm becoming, I used to shit on David Spade. I'm going to be honest. I used to shit on him for just riding the coattails of Sandler and not having his own talent. I have become a huge fan. I don't know. He's grown on me. I was wrong. Like he's very talented. Now that he's out doing kind of the second wave of his career, I am loving me some David Spade.
He was in Police Academy 3 or 4, I believe.
That's what they talked about. Like he was a big deal when he was very young as a comedian at all the comedy clubs because he had this heat from doing Police Academy 3 or 4.
He had like the most potential on him out of all those guys. And I think he was like the best stand up.
Yeah. His stand up was good. Back then, for sure. Yeah, sure it is.
I love his new show, and I know I'm a huge SNL fan, and maybe that's why. But when he has like Dennis Miller on, and they're just talking about the first skit, like I wrote the skit for you, and this was what we had you do, and that, like, I love that show.
Well, I love
it
too.
I can listen to it all day long, and maybe that's why I like his show, because of all the inside SNL you hear,
right?
But I like his show. I think it's great.
What's it on? Is it on Netflix?
It's on Comedy Central.
Okay. Lights Out with David Spade.
Yeah,
but I watched clips of it on YouTube. Like
can consume the whole show on YouTube.
That's how I do it.
It's so good, and he has. I really am a big Frangiola fan, and he has Frangiola on there now. So, David Spade. I watched his HBO Young Comedian special when I was younger. And it was so good because he did some impressions that were fucking spot on. Like he did Michael J. Fox, but he did Michael J. Fox like of Casualties of War, Michael J. Fox or something, which is the most obscure Michael J. Fox, which I loved instead of, you know, Back to the Future. But he's like, do you always notice how when Michael J. Fox is in a movie, he always sounds like looks like he's out of breath, you know? So every scene he's like, what are we talking about here, Sarge? And his impression is spot on. And every reference he did, it was only Casualties of War, but without telling you it was going to be Casualties of War. It was just brilliant. Like, he was really good. So, well, I think we've done a good job of putting this one together. Jess, you're a blast.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're here. You're glad that you're here. And everybody should know Doc Kids is on hiatus. Don't panic. A few people panicked on it. It's probably going to be back, but for now, it's this. We'll do this, and we'll let this grow, and then we'll work it out from there. So welcome aboard, Jess. As always, Jeff, Austin, you guys are awesome. Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
See you guys later.
Dang it.